You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Are the Heat, like, alive, maybe? I don't know what to... That was something last night. They upset the Celtics in Boston. We talk last night's game twos in both Boston and Oklahoma City in just a moment here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. We'll get Cam Smith of Live on the Line with us in just a moment. 20 minutes from now, back into the draft, because Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora released his one and only mock draft for the Washington Post yesterday. We'll talk to him about how he sees things playing out tonight. Third and final hour, our mock draft. We'll see how many picks we can get through in the first round here on BetQL Daily after we talk to Matthew Friedman. Lightning bets as well, which may have some baseball sprinkled in, maybe some hockey, some NBA plays as well, because there are another three games tonight. Perhaps we have three teams going up 3-0 in their respective series, including the Knicks up on the Sixers, maybe the Nuggets nearly putting away the Lakers. Are the Magic still around? Did they not already book tee times? I don't know. We could talk Cleveland, Orlando as well. Cam Smith of BetMGM's Live on the Line on the Stadium Network, and of course right here on your Odyssey app as well, Monday through Friday at noon, as well as The Better Angle with Kate Constable every Saturday afternoon on the BetQL Network, joins us now here on BetQL Daily. And Cam, let's start with Miami. Last night, Tyler Hero arrives. Miami just drills everything from three. And do we have a series now between the Heat and the Celtics?
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I definitely appreciate you guys having me on. I'm trying to get my coffee right now because I've been going through so much film and breakdowns of like what happened with Boston last night. And I've just come to the conclusion, guys, that Heat culture is real. Like, let's just be honest about that, because they were flat out embarrassed in game one. And they say, you know what, game two, you're not going to embarrass us in front of company again. So not only did they allow the Boston Celtics to knock down 22 threes in game one, but then also they're like, you know what, we'll one up you and knock down 23 threes ourselves in game two on the road. And that's so impressive on so many different levels. One, because obviously with Jimmy Butler out, you would think that this Heat team is missing kind of just like their flow, their overall leader, of course, the energy, the tone setter of their group, but they're a wounded animal. And when you're down your star player, everybody else has to pick up their slack. And I think that's the great thing that we saw last night about Miami. And if you listen to Eric Spoelstra after the game and just that clip that we saw last night in the locker room and speaking to his team, saying, hey, guys, we knew what we had to do. And he was proud of everybody that stepped up. Everyone that played in that game last night contributed. Like, if you look at across the board, people that logged significant minutes, especially off of the bench, they all had an impact in that ball game. And so it was phenomenal on so many levels. Now, it's great for the Heat that they look good, because now they split the series and even going back down to Miami for games three and four. But now I'm concerned about Boston. What do the Celtics do? How do they respond? We know they have those playoff demons against the Miami Heat. Like, can they exercise those demons in games three and four? Well, if you're a Boston fan, you're hoping that they can, because you could be going back to TD Garden down 3-1 possibly, because we know how the Heat get down in South Beach. It is a different environment down there, especially when you talk about just lack of calls. So it'll be interesting to see what Celtics team shows up for games three and four in Miami.
Well, let's stay in the Eastern Conference. And speaking of lack of calls, how about the Knicks and the 76ers? We saw that in game two. The leak comes out. Oh, yeah, this foul should have been called. Timeout should have been granted. Whatever. It's the Knicks up 2-0. But you look at the way game two finished, it could have gone either way. And it certainly feels like, all right, we're going to find out tonight, is this going to be a long series or is this going to be a short series in favor of New York? Philly favored by 5.5. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, I really like the Sixers favored by 5.5. I would definitely lay some money down on that. Of course, Joel Embiid, you heard his post-game comments after the game two loss, and I have my thoughts on him just having his head down. I don't like that. But also, if you listen to what he said that they're going to win this series. So if you're having your superstar saying that, then everybody else has to follow suit. So we know that he's basically playing on one leg, but still being a dominant player on that one leg, maybe the first two quarters, 3.5 quarters, because he really fades out just because he can't move after a while, just with the minutes that he's playing, the aggression and pressure that Isaiah Hartenstein and also Mitchell Robinson are giving him defensively, but Embiid is still producing. So, again, when you have your superstar saying that we will win this series and it's going to be the first game back at home and honestly the first game at home for your team, you want to make sure that not only is the physicality tone set, but also the defensive tone. Like, there's no way the Sixers can allow Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart to control the game that the way that they did in games one and two, and more especially with Josh Hart and how dominant he's been on the glass alone. So you're going to look at Nick Nurse and have that message being sent to the guards and the forwards out there saying, hey, if you see number three in that Knicks jersey, put a body on him. And I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if we see some hard fouls early on just so that Philadelphia can set the tone, because I believe the series goes at least six games. I could see it going seven just because I'm knowing that the Sixers will show up at home and even the series going back to the Garden. So with that spread at 5.5 for the Sixers, I'll take them on that spread. But they got to solve that answer that is Josh Hart. And it's weird because I'm saying they have to solve Josh Hart and not Jalen Brunson for the Knicks. They've done a hell of a job in slowing down and really containing Jalen Brunson through the first two games.
Man, there's a 5 out there, too, if you like the Sixers. I, however, like the Knicks and covered Josh Hart in high school, so I hope he continues to get his. This is a Knicks show, by the way. All right, Bucks and Pacers, this series is tied at one apiece. What is your assessment of this matchup?
Milwaukee better go to church. They better pray to whatever God that they believe in. If they don't believe in a higher power, then whatever that you worship or whoever you worship, you better send a prayer up. Or just ask for some type of just hope, because this Indiana Pacers team, we saw that in game two. They not only controlled the pace with Tyrese Halliburton, he looked better, especially with his lack of turnovers, only 2 turnovers, but dropped 12 dimes along with 12 points. But also they were so aggressive, guys, going downhill in transition, knowing that the Milwaukee Bucks are horrible as a transition team in defense, especially in the second half. Pascal Siakam is a guy that understands this. One, Giannis Antetokounmpo is out. 2, Milwaukee doesn't have an answer for me, especially when I got a head full of steam going downhill. But also in my post-up series, in my situations, Jay Crowder is not going to be able to do anything that can deter me from getting my shot off. I'm going to get clean looks, obviously, because I have the height advantage. But then also, 2, I'm slick enough to move around the physicality standpoint that Jay Crowder is going to bring in the post. So Milwaukee is a team that they better have Pat Connaughton or Bobby Portis, who was a sixth man of the year finalist, and we saw he didn't get that award because it went to Naz Reid of the Timberwolves, but they're going to have a big game from guys outside of Damian Lillard. And when I say that, I'm saying that Rick Carlisle understood one thing after game one. Okay, Damian Lillard got his. He had 35 in the first half. Great job. Second half, we got the ball out of his hands. He only took 5 shots. Game two, you saw some of the similar things, right? Dame was able to get his, but it was the other guys that really didn't do anything for Milwaukee. And that was the difference between game one and game two for the Bucks. You had Chris Middleton, who looked great in game one. Game two, shot the ball poorly, didn't really have much of an impact, and it was the same thing for that Bucks bench, where they didn't hit a 3 at all. And you don't see that, especially with a Malik Beasley coming off the bench and just some of the weapons that they have. So, again, it's going to take a big effort from the other guys for the Bucks to really get this win. But again, it ain't happening, y'all. Indiana's winning the series, and it might be a gentleman's sweep.
Mm-hmm. Cam Smith of BetMGM's live on the line with us here on BetQL Daily. You can hear that every single weekday right after us inside the Odyssey app, AUDACY. It's free. Download it today, Monday through Friday, noon Eastern. Cam has live on the line, and then weekends with Kate Constable on the Better Angle as well every Saturday afternoon. I look at the Nuggets Lakers tonight, Cam, and I see Nuggets favored by one at one book. Lakers favored by one in a bunch of spots, and then I look at our BetMGM app, and I see the Lakers by 1.5. What's your read on tonight's game? Because it feels like the Lakers have tried to stand toe-to-toe with the Nuggets as best they can, and LeBron just they look tired down the stretch, to be quite honest. Maybe not LeBron specifically, but this team looks like it's running out of gas. Do they have one last big haymaker they can land at home tonight?
They better hope Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaquille O'Neal, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, all the Lakers greats can walk through that door, because there is no way that this Lakers team, especially hearing what Anthony Davis said post-game after game two, saying that there were situations where they didn't even know what they were doing on both ends of the court. How do you say that, guys, at this stage of the season, first round of the NBA playoffs, knowing that your championship window is so small? And this is coming from your second star on that team. It was so weird for Anthony Davis to say that, but also it really illuminated the issues that the Lakers have had all season long, where there's been inconsistencies in coaching with Darvin Ham. You've had situations where they come out first half, look great. The opponent will make those adjustments in the second half, but you don't see the Lakers counter with anything. So I think that shined a light on just the discomfort and also the differences that we have in that locker room between head coach and coaching staff, along with the players. So that's one point. The second point is, if D'Angelo Russell, if Austin Reeves, if Rui Hachimura, similar to the Milwaukee Bucks, those other guys don't step up, then you're looking at another sweep in this matchup between the Nuggets and the Lakers. And we saw what happened in the Western Conference Finals last year. I know people were saying, well, if you look at the scores, it was a lot closer than what it was. Yeah, I can give you that to a certain extent, but at the end of the day, it was a sweep. Like, the Lakers lost all four games. So if it's not a situation where they come out really inspired and setting the tone early, and really not even just setting it early, because we saw that in the first half between games one and game two, but they have to maintain that through the second half. Denver doesn't care if they get down double digits. We've seen them bounce back before time and time again, especially against this Lakers team. It's the third and the fourth quarters when Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray start getting into their bag, start getting to their spots, and now you have a Lakers team on their heels and not understanding how to adjust to slow those guys down. So I wouldn't take the Lakers on the spread. I'm going Denver until the Lakers can prove to me that they know how to adjust and really find some type of plan defensively to not stop Nikola Jokic. You're not going to stop him. You can't guard him. There's no scouting report for him. You can try and limit what he does, and he does everything well. But it's more so focused on guys like Jamal Murray, a guy like Aaron Gordon, that is so live body on the glass and also in the paint. So I'm putting my money on the Nuggets, and I'll probably pair that up with something SGP-wise with Nikola Jokic with 10 or more rebounds with the Nuggets on the money line or even on the spread, and maybe throw in Jamal Murray with a couple of threes, because Denver is not slowing down at all.
Is there anything that you've seen in any series, any particular team, where you've changed your opinion, or maybe you've thought, oh man, I had that team go into the conference finals. I don't really see that the way things are going right now. Any, you know, performances over these first couple of games where you're willing to move that much?
I honestly, guys, had the belief that the Clippers could be in the Western Conference Finals. But coming off of game two, there's something that's really catching my eye with this Clippers team, is that there's a certain nervousness about them defending Luka Doncic and understanding that once he gets into his bag and he gets his comfort zone, they can't do anything defensively to slow him down. And that was on full display in game two. We saw Luke and Kyrie go off in game one, but now you're having a series that's shifting back to Dallas with the Mavericks having that momentum off of game two and Luka making shot after shot, especially that three that he knocked down to really seal things for the Mavericks in game two. You're not going to have a James Harden or even a Kawhi Leonard who looked great defensively, which was really impressive and him playing 35 minutes and getting four steals. But you're not going to have him try and draw that assignment against Luka Doncic knowing that he's having knee issues. So who is the person or persons for Ty Lue that will draw that assignment against Luka at home in Dallas to slow him down once they get rolling, right? So if you solve that problem, well, you know Kyrie Irving has been doing a thing all season. So that's another issue on the hand for the Clippers. So they've been a team that are starting to, with chemistry, with Kawhi back, you've seen them struggle a little bit offensively along with their shooting, which was a little weird being back at home, seeing what they did in game one and how they shot the ball well. So their issues are coming to light just a little bit, but I'm really curious to see how they respond in game three. So that's one of the teams that I had in the Western Conference Finals where I'm like, now looking back at it, I'm like, I don't know about this Clippers team.
Cam, great stuff. Follow him on X at Cameron Smith. BetMGM's live on the line every weekday at noon Eastern right here inside your Odyssey app and on the Stadium Network as well, and every Saturday afternoon with Kate Constable on the Better Angle here on the BetQL Network. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs, man. We'll catch up with you again soon. Thanks again, Cam.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys. Enjoy your day.
Absolutely. You too. We got the NFL draft, so we've already developed the drinking game. What next to do? Oh, figure out what Jason LaConfora thinks about tonight's first round. He joins us next right here. Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaConfora on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
A little less than 10 hours away from the NFL draft, and the chatter is intensifying, reaching a critical peak of, well, what about this? What about that? Did you hear about this? What do you think about what this guy had to say? Or did you hear what they had to say? It's flying around a million miles a minute. That's why you need an Odyssey NFL insider like Jason LaConfora. He'll join the show in just 1 minute here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, top of the hour. We get Matthew Friedman's latest mock draft as well. He's been with us throughout the process. Our own BetQL Daily mock draft in 1 hour from now. See how many picks we can get through in the first round. Lightning bets before we wrap up the show as well. Ideas on who the first defensive player off the board may be. How many quarterbacks in the first round? How many corners? How many offensive linemen? From the Washington Post and 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora joins us now. His one and only, because he ain't got time for 2.0 and 3.2 and all these other mock drafts. His one and only mock draft in the Washington Post yesterday. He sends J.J. McCarthy to the New England Patriots at number 3 overall. Jason, first of all, good morning. Thanks for making the time on a very busy day. Second of all, McCarthy to the Patriots. Why is that where they go at number 3 rather than Drake May, you think?
Just sort of playing a hunch. Look, I firmly believe McCarthy's, you know, has been in the mix with Washington, and there are people in that building who, you know, think he can be an excellent winning NFL quarterback. At the end of the day, I think they lean to the kid with the sort of athleticism that can't be taught, right? Can't be coached, can only be cultivated. But I think if you're New England and you're going to play with this kid right away, and they saw like what losing football did to Mac Jones, right? And how some kids can handle it and some kids can't. And who can continue to go into a huddle in what might be a 5-win season and sort of keep everybody somewhat focused? Who can continue to command the veterans' attention? Who can prevent things from splintering and end the season ascending rather than end the season with questions mounting about, boy, just how inexperienced is he? Like, just how ready or not ready was he for this? So I could see that ultimately resonating with the Patriots, who I've heard, again, now you can go back to my reporting in the Washington Post in November. Like, I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't care where any of these kids go, but evaluators I trust have been telling me McCarthy's going to be in play at multiple picks in the top 4. Like, just trust us. Like, believe me. And I believe them. And I think it's proving to be the case. And, you know, like, he's a winner. He just absolutely wows people. I'm not a big pro day guy, but multiple GMs who are at that pro day who are not taking a quarterback, like, told me it was pretty wild. Like, this kid has continued to wow people. And he comes from a pro-style offense, and Harbaugh knows how to prepare quarterbacks. You know, he's played in the elements. He's played in the weather, right? We're talking about New England. So just a hunch. I don't want my mock draft to look like everybody else's, and I'm not telling you I did it just to do it. Like, I would not be surprised if it's McCarthy anywhere but at between 3, you know, at a bunch of different places, between 3 and, I mean, God, if he was somehow there at 11. I know multiple teams are interested in trading up for him. Like, even if the Giants had their pick of May and McCarthy, like, is there somebody who could tell you with complete certainty that that guy would be May? Like, and who would that person be if it's not a person employed by the Giants themselves? So I think this has the potential to be really quirky. And I find it interesting that so many mock drafts, there's so much groupthink there. And part of me is like, well, wait a minute. The evaluators are struggling more than ever themselves to pin the top 5, but a bunch of people in the media absolutely know 12 or 14 of these picks because they all have the same people going to the same places. Like, is that how it's going to be? I don't know. Maybe.
Doesn't seem to be much groupthink when it comes to the other quarterbacks later in the first round, or at least that's the expectation. Knicks and Penix, some people have neither going. Some have both, like you do, to get to 6. Some are picking between the two. How'd you get to 6 quarterbacks in the first round?
Well, to me, and I'm shocked that the number hasn't moved. Now, the value has moved, right, on the payout. But the number of quarterbacks in the first round has stayed at 4.5, which was really low to me when I first played it. And still looks really low to me now. I mean, again, when I looked yesterday, it was down to like 380 or something like that. And I've just kind of been waiting for them to move it to 5.5. I'm not sure if that happened again because I'm out of those markets. But Michael Penix, like, I don't, like, people kept saying, again, I'll go back to my reporting in the fall. injuries. Like that's in the past. Like all these kids have injuries. Everybody's been through something. They're playing football. All the medical rechecks, everything from the combine on, again, talking to teams who don't have a dog in the fight, they don't have a problem taking him in the first round. The production's there. He's faced elite competition. You know, the deep ball is there. He proved to be more than athletic enough. He's been cultivated. He's been in a couple different systems. He's seen some things. He's done some things. And the quarterback need is pressing. I never saw a world that he got past the Raiders at 13. I don't think that world exists. Again, I could be a total idiot, and, you know, by 10 o'clock tonight, shame on me. But I don't think that world exists. And I'll tell you this, if you're looking for a curveball at the top quarter of this draft, what about Atlanta taking him at 8? Because it wouldn't shock me if they did it. I don't care what they paid Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is coming off an Achilles, and that's a Band-Aid. They still need a long-term solution at quarterback as well. Like, somebody might – look, if somebody traded up to 3 or 4 for Penix, like, it wouldn't shock me. Like, I would get it. I would understand it. Like, there's a lot to like about this kid.
There is. I'm with you on that. I think there's going to be over on the quarterbacks in the first round. What about Latham as the first offensive lineman drafted? It looked like it was Joe Ault. There seems to be a lot of interesting stuff this morning, and the odds have shortened. How well do you know the Chargers GM from the Ravens organization? Do you have any, you know, inclination what direction he might want to go?
Well, yeah, I'm pretty familiar with his work, and I know, you know, what Harbaugh believes in pretty well. Make no mistake, Joe Ortiz works for Jim Harbaugh. It ain't the other way around. Everybody in that organization now works for Jim Harbaugh. I've been steadfast in saying I think the Chargers are taking a tackle from the giddy-up. Like, I've never, you know, written or talked about them taking one of these receivers. I don't care if all of them are on the board. In that scenario, which, again, I don't think exists, but maybe Arizona trades out and now they're behind them. Like, I still think they would trade down and take a tackle. I had heard Joe all along. They love the size. They love everything about him. They can kick Slater to the right side. Now, all of a sudden, there's this thing that they want Latham and they want a pure right tackle. I mean, maybe if you're studying the Harbaugh family and you're studying Joe Ortiz, you will find all kinds of paths to the Golden Domers and the Crimson Tide. So, like, those are programs that were wired into Ozzie Newsome's DNA and that have been passed down to Eric DaCosta and Joe Ortiz. We know the Harbaugh brothers are thick as thieves. Like, they share a lot of the same team-building philosophies. There's going to be a – look how many former Ravens are already with the Chargers. So, there's going to be a lot of like, similarities between those franchises moving forward. So, I mean, it's coming from somewhere, and it might be – it might be legit. Like, this is not any evaluator who I just asked just through the course of the last 4 months. If you had your pick of any tackles, which one are you taking? Everybody told me Joe Ault. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be the pick. So we'll see. You know, I do think the Chargers, again, have always, unless they can trade down, taking a tackle, we'll find out which one.
Jason LaConfora, Odyssey NFL Insider, with us here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, co-host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, In the Huddle with Brian Baldinger and Carl Dukes, covering the entire NFL. Latest episode just out yesterday. Obviously talks heavy about the draft. Check it out when you get time later today. Also check out his one and only mock draft in the Washington Post, and you can hear him afternoons on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Jason, just number of offensive linemen, aside from who goes first, where they go. First round, the number's been set at about 9.5. I did notice in your mock draft, you have one of those teams that's widely being considered a team to take an O-lineman, trade up and go for corner instead in the Steelers, because they have been aggressive in recent drafts and recent off seasons. How does that shake out, especially when we get late in the first round and we're talking about teams like Kansas City, who has the final pick? They could go receiver because of the Rashee Rice question marks now, or offensive line. How many O linemen in the first round, you think?
I think that 9.5 is really sharp. Like, I haven't played it one way or the other. I've certainly dabbled in some of those markets, but It feels like that's exactly where the sort of fulcrum's going to swing. Is I think there's absolutely positively going to be eight, and damn pretty sure there's going to be nine, but that 10th one at the back end without knowing everybody else off the board, like, is there going to be a default to offensive linemen, or is there still going to be a cluster of them where you're feeling okay there day two, but you're worried about some other run coming somewhere else? And look, the Steelers very well could trade up for an offensive lineman. Like, I'm just, again, thinking, if you did move up that far, are you trying to get sort of the best of breed at something? And so I leaned into the idea that at 12, they take a player who Denver very well could play, take themselves, you know, Mitchell the corner, if they're stuck there. But just thought, if the offensive lineman, if there's already four gone, might the Steelers, still could be one the Steelers love, but might they go in a different direction? Like, I honestly don't have, like, I couldn't play the under, right? They're trying to get you to play the under. Like, I can make the case for 11, you know? So I'm out on that market. I don't like the way it's priced.
With this draft, and once they landed 10, I'm talking about the Jets, it just seems so obvious. And everybody's early on, oh, that's the tackle spot. Look how this lays out. Look at the depth. They're going to get a good name there. And you mocked Bowers. There's been a lot of steam heading that way. Bowers. It's tough because we know the general manager is not really the general manager. It's the quarterback that's going to be playing for one more year. Why are you thinking Bowers or Jets?
I think that, first of all, they've had difficulty drafting offensive linemen. They have a quarterback who is going to let his thoughts be known about everything. It's all about right now. Like, I just don't think anybody there, like, the word development and draft and develop, not there where everybody's trying to save their job. It's draft and play. It's draft and immediately make us better. It's draft and go to the top of our depth chart absolutely positively. Like, are they taking a left tackle who's going to beat out Tyron Smith? I don't think so. Like, I also don't think Tyron Smith's going to be there a year from now. And maybe he doesn't make it through the season, but they need him to. So I just think sometimes, like, it just makes sense. Like, sometimes it just is what it is. And sometimes it's groupthink and everybody, you know, went for the okie doke. In this case, I just think he makes the offense better. He makes the offense more difficult to defend. And I think, you know, they would lean tight end over receiver, where they're going to have to pay a receiver here in the you know, not too distant future.
How many cornerbacks do you think go in the first round? The total's 5.5.
I would go under there. I think it's probably 5. You know, we've got the top two, Wiggins and Kool-Aid McKinstry. I think just because of some of the needs at the back end, you can make the case for a bunch of teams, you know, Arizona, Baltimore, Detroit, and the kid from Iowa. If the kid from Iowa went 16th to Seattle, I wouldn't flinch at all. Like, if they looked at him and said, we can squint and see just a smidge of, like, could this kid be half of Kyle Hamilton? If he is, we'll take him at 16. Mike McDonald, who was a part of the Ravens team that drafted Hamilton, you know, obviously now the head coach with Seattle. But, like, between Seattle, between Pittsburgh, between Philadelphia, like, I don't think that kid's there, you know, past the early 20s. So I would say, you know, 5 is probably the number.
Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaConfora. Don't forget to check out In the Huddle on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm sure you guys will have an episode wrapping everything up after the draft. You, Baldy, and Dukes.
Tomorrow morning.
We appreciate the time. Tomorrow morning. All right, cool.
We'll nab
it after the show. Sounds good.
Thanks,
we appreciate
guys.
It, man. Enjoy the draft tonight.
Thank you.
Great stuff from Jason, as always. Matthew Friedman coming up at the top of the hour. What's he think of the final round of mock drafts coming in from Fantasy Life? Our own mock draft. Wonder how many picks we can get through. At least the top 10, right? That coming up at 11:20 Eastern in the final hour before we get you our lightning bets. Some interesting things said by Jason there. We get back into some of our best bets for the first round of the NFL draft tonight alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski I'm Chris Mack. We are live coast to coast on the BetQL Network, wherever you may be in the world. Inside your Odyssey app, take us with you. This is BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Some of our favorite bets for the draft. Things are starting to crystallize. We are now less than 10 hours away until the NFL draft. It is BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Happy draft day. And while you're sitting around waiting for your team to pick, waiting and waiting, looking for the best analysis and insight on who that player may be. Once your team picks, BetMGM tonight is your destination. As the picks are happening, they'll be bringing you all the angles on how to bet, win totals, divisional winners, fantasy markets, all of it. Listen anywhere with your Odyssey app tonight, BetMGM tonight during the draft. You want to get as much content as possible, absorb everything going on. That's the way to go. We've got our own mock draft coming up in about 35 minutes or so here on BetQL Daily. We'll see how many picks we can get through, at least the top 10. Of the first round, lightning bets as well, which undoubtedly will include some looks at the three game threes in the NBA tonight. Opportunities for the Cavs, the Knicks, and the Nuggets to all go up 3-0 in their series on the road. Can they do that? Again, lightning bets before we wrap up. Matthew Friedman of Fantasy Life in 20 minutes, his latest thoughts and in some cases, final thoughts on where we go with the first round of the NFL draft tonight alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. I'm Chris Mack. Scott Smith, our friend from 4 for 4, has his final mock draft out. Some takeaways. We don't get the run on quarterbacks at 11 or 12 or 13, the low teens that some people have in there. We do get plenty of offensive linemen. Jackson Powers Johnson staying in the first round. We get Cooper DeJean late in the first round. Now, we do get that fifth quarterback in the first round, Michael Penix, going to the Raiders via a trade back into the first round, according to Scott Smith. We've got Laiatu going as the first defensive player at 8 overall to Atlanta. That's a name that keeps bouncing around. McCarthy goes 5 to the Vikings, Joe. That's the one thing that, you know, if there isn't the move at 3, if the Patriots don't get the haul that they seemingly want to move off of 3 and maybe only back a few spots to 6, as I predicted earlier, then maybe they do stay put. And maybe it's the Vikings targeting the Chargers for a trade up to jump in front of the Giants and get McCarthy or May there, depending on which quarterback goes 3.
Yeah, a lot of takeaways from this. I want to bet under 4.5 quarterbacks, but I'm going to be sitting there all night just saying, not Knicks, not Penix, not Knicks, not Penix, not Penix.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Please. Yeah. I don't think both. I don't expect to see 6 quarterbacks go, but there's, it depends on the value. The value is down from where it was, like, say, a month ago. But if you're getting, like, at least 2-1, but I know I don't believe we're there anymore. I want to bet that, but I don't, as far as using a first round pick, it sounds like Penix is more likely the scenario and the possibilities are all over the map, but I would go, I guess I'd go under there if I had to bet it. It's fascinating to me that nobody knows the order of these defensive players. Some have had Latu as the first one. Some have Murphy as the first one. Once upon a time, it was Verse. And then it's just all over the map. And there is absolutely no consensus. I think Turner's going to fall, but maybe he's just, like Aaron mentioned, in that spot where he'd been mocked for oh so long. So if we get a trade at 5, that's when everything's going to get haywire and everybody's going to get all amped up, because there's a good possibility the first few go as expected.
Yeah, man, this is getting crazy. Every time I think I have it figured out, like, then I just rethink the whole thing. Like, the 8 pick, too, is just baffling. What are the Falcons going to do? Is there going to be a trade there? Which defensive player could it be? That 5 and 8, I just keep being like, what is it? It's crazy. Right.
I mean, three hinge points in the first in the top 10, right? Like, number 3, do the Patriots decide to move out? 5 and 6 is another spot, right? Because do the Giants want to move up to 3? Do they have the capital? If not, then yeah, what's happening at 5? Does somebody move in there? Minnesota, maybe Denver, but are the Chargers looking to deal with a division rival? Probably not. And then 8, you mentioned Atlanta. The biggest takeaway in the last 25 minutes, 30 minutes for me, guys, regarding 8th overall, as much as we've talked about the defensive players, it's what Jason Lock and Forrest said. Don't eliminate Atlanta as a possibility if one of those top 4 quarterbacks slides there. And I know he mentioned Penix.
Really? Really?
I know he mentioned Penix. I cannot get to a spot where I spend top 15, probably top 20 draft capital on Michael Penix, given the injuries. I couldn't. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting thought that if you're Atlanta, and again, let's talk about a world where one of those top 4 quarterbacks slides, where for some reason they get to 8. If you're the Falcons, do you completely rule that out in a world where, like Jason said, you've got Kirk Cousins, but, you know, come on. Who are we kidding acting like Kirk Cousins has more than a couple good years left, if that, on that surgically repaired Achilles? And you can set yourself up sort of ahead of schedule with the next quarterback. I wouldn't do it for Penix. I wouldn't personally do it for McCarthy. It sounds like a lot of teams in this draft would. But, like, if I get to 8 and I'm Terry Fontenot and Drake May is still sitting there, like, you double check to make sure you're not getting punked, right? You're like, no, we'll take the quarterback of the future and let him sit for a year behind Kirk.
Yeah, I don't think they do that. Kirk just got in the building. You just convinced him to come there. I don't think they want to upset him. Not before he takes a snap after willing to make that big move and come to Atlanta. I don't see it. I think a wide receiver is a possibility. If one of those guys falls to them at 8 when everybody has a defensive player locked in, I think that's a possibility to help Kirk Cousins. They're in such a soft division. Man, I'm not going quarterback at 8. But
Chris kind of sold me. I like the
at a quarterback.
Because you
give out this huge contract and now we're going to get a quarterback on the rookie deal and start that clock and not expect to use him for a couple of years?
Kirk Cousins is used to being slighted. So if any quarterback could handle this happening, man, he's been through it before. I mean, I don't hate that idea because coming off that injury, and Kirk has, you know, been very durable, but he's on the wrong side of whatever age he is now. I mean, he's been in the NFL for a long time. Like, are we sure he's going to be durable? Maybe they do need an insurance policy.
And if you're the Falcons and you believe in what you've built around Cousins, right, then you're not going to draft as high next year. You're probably not. And if you really believe that this might be the opportunity, maybe you don't like what's coming ahead in next year's draft. I think that's a silly proposition to start trying to see, you know, that far ahead, especially at a position like quarterback. But you've only got really 2 years of Cousins deal that you can't get out from under. You get through 2025, you can get out from underneath the last couple of years of Cousins deal, and it's not going to cost you any money to do so, really. In fact, it's going to save you money. So you really only got Kirk locked up for 2 years. I'm not saying I expect it to happen, but it was an interesting idea that Jason brought up that, again, if one of those top 4 quarterbacks slid all the way to 8, then maybe it's not defense at all. Maybe you bring up receiver too, Joe. I think that's an interesting one for Atlanta also at 8 because they've basically got a wide receiver 1 on their depth chart, right, in Drake London, borderline wide receiver 1. I still want to see a little bit more proof of concept from him. Hopefully we get it with Kirk Cousins as the quarterback. And then a bunch of dudes like Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore, Kadarius Hodge, Ray McLeod.
No, not dudes. They suck. They suck.
Well, no, I mean, dudes yes. in so much as they're just there. They're taking up space in the wide receiver room. I know you hate Darnell Mooney. It's okay. I want you
the
to
whole
get that,
list you
get
gave
that
is terrible.
Out.
That's a terrible list. It's all
Falcons
bad.
Aren't good at.
But that's
stuff from London.
That's my point. Other than London, so wide receiver isn't a terrible look there for the Falcons at eight either. I think their board is kind of wide open. We've just penciled them in as a spot for a defensive player almost by default.
Yeah, the first defensive player could go nine to the Bears. Can I throw out a few picks, a few bets?
Yeah.
And let me get your thoughts. All right, so I was looking at the college props. Big 12 players. The over-under is 3.5. Murphy's locked in. I think Guyton probably is. He's mocked around 23, 24 at most spots.
Okay.
What about Mitchell? He's viewed. Mitchell and Worthy out of Texas. Now we're at 4. And then I'm not even going to try his name. The BYU dude, Kingsley. Some have him going in the first round. Now we're
Zach
at 5.
Frazier.
The number's 3.5. Right. Oh, of course. You bring up him.
What?
Are we going over?
Offensive lineman who could go late first round, early second?
I saw mid second round for him. But yeah, but that's an overplay, right? For the Big 12, over 3.5. It's a little juice minus 130, but not too much for draft props.
I like that one.
Did you mention? Yeah, I mean, that's
3.5. Yeah. We got to get
that. That's not a bad look at all.
What's the Pac-12 number at?
I wanted to give you that because that's the other college prop I have. 7.5. Okay. So it is plus money. I saw plus 160 on the over. We got Caleb, Adunze, Fuaga, Vatanu, Latu locked in. We're at 5. Now, the questionable
Penix,
ones.
Nick.
Powers Johnson.
Yeah.
Morgan, Nix, Penix. Now we're at 9, and the number was 7.5.
Yeah, come on. We went weeks, and you had to. You had to go back in on it.
Phoenix, we have to dream tonight. Like, I will get wasted if that happens.
Oh, no. Phoenix is you triple shot, finish the bottle, go to bed. Just go to bed.
I'm
Phoenix is bottle. You take the bottle to the head. You have to.
Who's most likely to say it?
Call
on
off.
All the broadcasts.
Send a text to Paul. Says, sorry, won't be there in the morning.
Who would say it? Desmond Howard? He's
Herb
the one that
Street.
Said it last time, right? Didn't Des say it?
Herb
yeah,
Street?
Des did say
no
it.
No way.
No, yeah. Des said it on College Game Day, right?
Is RG3 doing anything?
Oh,
he'll
definitely
say it.
No, I don't think he's making it tonight. They're too worried.
Speaking of what people say tonight, what do we say? Our own BetQL Daily Mock Draft in 25 minutes and Matthew Friedman of Fantasy Life with a final look at the first round next right here on BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM.